Good morning. It's time for you to wake up. You're going to have a great day. I can feel it. You can feel it. Spring is on the way. March Madness is happening. Yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. You may still be wearing green. So many things to wake up for. Hey, it's Radio Theology here on 99.5 ZPL. Darren Earlywine, your host, here with Ryan and Lisa. Guys, I'm feeling like we've got a lot of great momentum, and the week just started because we just woke up.
I'm so happy. Yeah.
What was the deal this week with the snow that kept coming out of nowhere?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was like whiteout, and then it was sunny, and then it was whiteout, and I'm like, please make up your mind.
Yeah. It was a full-blown Indiana schizophrenic weather day.
Oh, baby.
No thanks about that. But I think those days are behind us.
Yep.
Yesterday was St. Patty's Day. You may have had a little green beer. You may have had a little too much green beer. Yeah. If you're in a struggle place, right, we're going to try to lift your spirits. A little bit of faith, hope, and love for you this morning on ZPL. Lisa, you had a day that was going just dynamite. You were out on a date.
Oh,
you were like, it is good days. And I mean, Ryan, I think I've been there before. You're out with a spouse, maybe back in the day when they're with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it's like, today is going well.
Yeah.
Like, it's just cruise control.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Yeah, the food is good.
Yeah.
You look good.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, it's full on brick wall.
Yeah.
Lisa, do you feel like you're emotionally prepared to take us to the place you're at this week when you hit that emotional brick wall in this date?
I hope so, yeah. Yes, I'm looking good. Ryan looks good. The kids are in bed. We sneak out. The babysitter comes and just sits at our house. We pay her $5 an hour. Like, everything is great.
So much momentum.
We have 3 gift cards, so we're like, let's just use those bad boys.
Yes, and make it rain.
Make it rain, baby. Like, I'm getting the steak, obviously. So they have this prefix menu. We're all excited, and then we notice our waitress like having trouble at the other table before she even comes to our table, and we're like, okay. And I'm like, it's fine, everything is always like grace, give him a break. And then Ryan's like almost immediately agitated, but we're like, it's fine. But she's confused all night. She's confused at the service, poor. It was, she couldn't get it together, and I'm like, it's fine because whatever. And I'm trying to like rationalize this, right? It takes over our conversation. Now we're only talking about her. And
oh,
I'm like,
no.
This is not even, I'm like, at least we're not talking about our kids, but like, do we have to talk about this lady we don't even know? Like, she's part of our lives now for like an hour. And we don't ever need to talk about her again. Like, she had to run our bill 3 different times. It was a disaster. She threw away 2 of the gift cards, didn't even use them. And we're like,
you're looking
what
to figure
is
out,
happening? Yeah,
are you on candid camera? What's happening?
Yeah, right. I shredded them in the back for you. I thought you wanted me to shred your gift card. No? No? Sorry.
Now shred the bill, right? So, we're on our way home. Ryan, on the way, though, out of the restaurant, he's like, I need to talk to somebody about this. Like, he's now, like,
oh, he's
really
gonna call
amped.
The manager.
Yeah, he's in full-on dad mode.
Yeah, well, and he
Somebody's
wanted to.
Somebody's going
to
answer for that kind of situation.
Well, he wanted to before we even left the restaurant, and I'm like, no. Please, no, it's fine. Just let it go. It's fine. It's date night, whatever. So in the car on the way home, that's the only thing he's talking about. He's ranting to me like I wasn't even there witnessing the whole thing. I'm like,
you'd never believe what happened to me and my wife at dinner.
So then he drives the babysitter home, 4 houses down, but still.
Classy.
Drives her home. Yep. I'm getting ready for our, the next event in our date night adventures.
Ah.
And so I'm like, oh, what's taking him so long downstairs? So I like open the door. He's on the phone. And I'm like, who in the world could he be talking to? It's 10 o'clock on a Friday night. He had called the manager and said, I'm unhappy with the service. Told the whole story. I hear him telling every detail. So I'm like, okay. I mean, forever. He was on the phone forever. It feels like forever when you're like, hey, like, I'm up here doing things. You might want to join in on this kind of situation that's happening, right? And anyway, he got us a free meal at a restaurant 15 minutes prior. He swore we would never go back to again.
We'll give it a shot if it's free.
Amen to that.
Radio Theology here on 99.5 ZPL, your weekly letters of faith, hope, love, and music. We realize that maybe you're not into church. Maybe you kind of are curious. So we try to put together bits like this where maybe you and your kids in the car can hear a simple Bible story. Maybe have a conversation afterwards. We hope you enjoy it. So it's time for Bible story time.
It was Passover, the time when God's people remembered how God had rescued them from being slaves in Egypt. Every year they killed a lamb and ate it.
The lamb died instead of us,
they would say. But this Passover, God was getting ready for an even greater rescue. Jesus and his friends were having the Passover meal together in an upstairs room. But Jesus' friends were arguing. What about? They were arguing about stinky feet. Stinky feet? Yes, that's right, stinky feet. Now, the thing about feet back then was that people didn't wear shoes. They only wore sandals, which might not sound unusual, except that the streets in those days were dirty. And I don't mean just dirty. I mean really stinky dirty. With all those cows and horses everywhere, you can imagine the stuff on the street that ended up on their feet. So anyway, someone had to wash the dirt, but it was a dreadful job. Who on earth would ever dream of volunteering to do it? Only the lowliest servant.
I'm not the servant,
Peter said.
Nor am I,
said Matthew. Quietly, Jesus got up from the table, took off his robe, picked up a basin of water, knelt down, and started to wash his friend's feet.
You can't,
Peter said. He didn't understand about Jesus being the servant king.
If you don't let me wash away the dirt, Peter,
Jesus said,
you can't be close to me.
Jesus knew that what people needed most was to be clean on the inside. All of the dirt on their feet was nothing compared to the sin inside their hearts.
Then wash me, Lord,
Peter said, tears filling his eyes.
All of me.
One by one, Jesus washed everyone's feet.
I'm doing this because I love you,
Jesus explained.
Now do this for each other.
Now one of Jesus' friends had made a bad plan. No one else knew what the bad plan was, but Jesus knew, and so did Judas. Judas was going to help the leaders capture Jesus for 30 pieces of silver.
Go on, Judas,
Jesus said, and Judas got up from the meal, left the room, and walked out into the night. Then Jesus picked up some bread and broke it. He gave it to his friends. He picked up a cup of wine and thanked God for it. He poured it out and shared it.
My body is like this bread. It will break,
Jesus told them.
This cup of wine is like my blood. It will pour out. But this is how God will rescue the whole world. My life will break and God's broken world will mend. My heart will tear apart and your hearts will heal. Just as the Passover lamb died, so now I will die instead of you. My blood will wash away all of your sins, and you'll be clean on the inside and your hearts. So whatever you eat and drink, remember,
Jesus said,
I've rescued you.
Jesus knew it was nearly time for him to leave the world and go back to God.
I won't be with you long,
he said.
You are going to be very sad, but God's help will come, and then you'll be filled up with a forever happiness that won't ever leave. So don't be afraid. You are my friends, and I love you.
Then they sang their favorite song and walked up to their favorite place in Olive Garden.
I figured something out, guys.
What's that?
Relationships, hard work.
Yeah, truth. Yeah.
Very hard work. We're going to talk about it. Radio Theology, your weekly dose of faith, hope, love, and music here on 99.5 ZPL, presented by Olivet Nazarene University. Darren Earlywine, Ryan Allward, Lisa Graff here with you every Sunday morning for 3 hours of glorious radio. Listen, guys, I got a truth for everybody. If you're listening, here's what you need to know if you don't know already. Relationships are really hard work.
Yeah, it takes some work, man.
It does. And not, I'm not just talking about like spouses. I mean friendships. And I feel like having old friends is not easy because you have to be able to get through a lot of stuff together. And I think one of the keys that Jesus actually teaches us and embodies wonderfully in his life is to have really healthy relationships. You have to be able to communicate with people in a way that is full of grace and full of truth.
All right, Darren, how would you define grace?
Grace?
Yeah.
Grace. Grace. She passed away 30 years ago.
Oh, sorry, you were waiting for me.
Grace died 3 years ago.
No. All right, Darren, how would you define grace, though?
I think one of the greatest ways to define grace is that it is actually presence, okay? So a lot of times people think of grace as forgiveness, which it is. Biblically, right, grace is the unearned and unmerited favor of God.
Okay.
We can't buy it. We can't earn it. He gives us by grace his love. But the embodiment of grace, the concept of grace, that's the concept of grace. The reality of grace is presence. So if you do something to me, if I offer you grace, I forgive you for it. But more than that, I also stay connected to you.
Okay.
So if I'm going to bring something into your life, I'm not just saying I forgive you. I'm saying I forgive you and I will be gracious and present with you. So in relationships, when we have to speak truth to someone, it's not just we show up and drop a truth grenade in their life.
Like, although hey, that's fun sometimes.
Sometimes it feels really
good. It
feels
good.
Yeah, because you walk away and you're like, I just won that. I'm right.
And that's a great way to win.
Right. And bulldozing people.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think sometimes, right, we got to look at what is our perspective on life. Some of us are win-win people.
Yep.
If you're going to be a win-win person, you have to be grace and truth. If you're a win-lose person where I win, you lose, I just drop truth grenades in your life and walk away because all I care about is winning.
Like our friend Larry who calls in every once
Larry
in a while.
Larry drops some truth grenades.
Yeah,
he's got them all strapped around his belt. If you're a lose-win, it's like I'll lose so you win. Like I'm the victim. So I'm just going to keep giving you grace and grace and grace. You can just doormat me because it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Then there's people that are more lose-lose people. You get into a conflict with them and they're like, here, hold this grenade. I'll also hold one and we're both done. Right?
Got
they just explode relationships. But I think it's a really challenging thing that we have to be in a place of confidence. We can't allow insecurity to drive us and really truly love the people around us. Say, you know what? If I'm going to move into this relationship, if I'm going to have this conversation, I got to figure out, am I being truthful, but am I doing it in a gracious way?
Okay, I love that. But we talked about it a few minutes ago, but like, I'm really good at giving grace to strangers. I am the worst at giving grace to my husband, Ryan. Like, why? Why is that?
I think some of it is because you don't have anything to lose with a stranger. With your husband, you're taking the risk. If I offer you grace, because if I'm saying grace is connection and presence, if I'm offering you grace, that means that I'm offering the risk of staying closely connected to you.
Huh.
Whereas with a stranger, it's like, well, I can give you grace because I'm leaving the restaurant tomorrow.
I'm never going to see you again.
Or in 10 seconds, I'm saying.
Yeah. Right.
But if it's my husband, I'm going to offer you grace, and that means that I have to stay present with you in this moment and continually.
Mm.
Ooh, that's heavy.
If you spend enough time around God through his word, through worship music, through maybe a church community, through other Christian friends, he will speak truth to your life. But the beautiful thing is he never brings truth into your life outside of the reality and the presence of grace. We just keep having holidays. You know, it's like it was Valentine's Day. It was that. We had Lent. It just keeps coming. And we're here to educate you. It's Radio Theology, your weekly dose of faith, hope, love, and music. And we've got a holiday. Just happened yesterday. St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Beautiful history with St. Patrick's Day.
Indeed.
So we called our buddy, Professor Horatio Wigglebottom, said, we need the Radio Theology community educated on St. Patty's Day. Horatio, or Professor Wigglebottom, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, everybody. It's very good to be back.
All right. Educate us on St. Patrick.
St. Patrick's Day, or the Feast of St. Patrick, is an annual cultural and religious celebration held around the world on March 17th. The traditional death date of St. Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland. The holiday celebrates Patrick's role in the arrival of Christianity to the island in the 5th century. According to Patrick's book entitled Confessio, which some scholars believe heavily influenced the Confessions album by 21st century American R&B singer Usher, when Patrick was 16, he was captured by Irish pirates from his home in Britain and taken as a slave to Ireland. Get it? Because they're pirates. Pastor Darren, would you like to hear a pirate joke?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why does it take pirates so long to learn the alphabet?
I don't know, Professor Wigglebottom.
Because they spend years at sea.
That's terrible.
Would you like another one,
no,
Lisa?
No.
I've got one. How much did the pirate pay for his piercings? A buck an ear.
Anyway,
Patrick lived as a slave in Ireland for 6 years before escaping and returning to his family in Britain, where he became a cleric in the local church. In later life, he served as a bishop and shared the gospel of Christ with thousands of pagans, druids, and Celts living in Gaelic Ireland. But little is known about the exact places where he worked. Several progressive scholars theorize that Patrick was pivotal in devising the original recipe for the loaded potato soup at O'Charlie's, although no concrete archaeological evidence has been presented to support this claim. Patrick is also known to have converted many wealthy Irish women, many of whom became nuns in the face of family opposition. His work with the aforementioned women is purported to have inspired the plots of Sister Act and The Real Housewives of Dublin, although this particular scholar vehemently refutes that claim. Several legends exist about the life of St. Patrick, including one that credits him with teaching the Irish about the doctrine of the Holy Trinity by showing people the shamrock, a three-leafed plant, using it to illustrate the Christian teaching of three persons in one God. The shamrock has since become a central symbol for St. Patrick's Day. Icons of Patrick often depict him with a cross in one hand and a sprig of shamrocks in the other, while memes of intoxicated revelers bedecked in green attire on Instagram depict them in the bathroom of a Clada with a pint of Guinness in one hand and their girlfriend's hair in the other as she boots and rallies, as the young people say. Are you ready to hear another legend of the life of St. Patrick, Lisa?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Better than any pirate jokes.
The absence of snakes in Ireland gave rise to the legend that they have all been banished by Patrick, chasing them into the sea after they attacked him during a 40-day fast he was undertaking in a grassy field, which of course is how the term snakes on a plane came to be. However, all evidence suggests otherwise about the presence of reptilian rapscallions on the Emerald Isle. I quote, "At no time has there ever been any suggestion of snakes in Ireland, so there was nothing for St. Patrick to banish," says naturalist Nigel Monaghan, keeper of natural history at the National Museum of Ireland in Dublin, who has searched extensively through Irish fossil collections and records and evidently never had a girlfriend. St. Patrick's Day, while not a legal holiday in the United States, is nonetheless widely recognized and observed throughout the country as a celebration of Irish-American culture. Celebrations include prominent displays of the color green, parades, and copious consumption of alcoholic beverages by the 33 million Americans of Irish heritage. $5.9 billion was spent on cabbage, corned beef, beer, and Uber rides yesterday, not to mention all the extra-strength Tylenol and grease-filled brunches that will be purchased today. Here are some fun facts about St. Patrick's Day. Are you ready?
Yeah, bring him.
Since 1962, 45 pounds of dye has been used to turn the Chicago River green. Yesterday, an estimated 400,000 Chicagoans watched the river turn green, while an estimated 1,000 actually remembered doing so. Darren, if you're lucky enough to find a leprechaun's pot of gold at the end of the rainbow this weekend, you'd better be quick to find a bank to deposit it in, as the street value of 1,000 one-ounce gold coins is $1.3 million.
That's awesome.
Imagine how many pairs of male jeggings and cans of hair cream you could buy with that. Lastly, a crystal ball of shamrocks is given to the U.S. president every St. Patrick's Day by the president of Ireland. Later this week, Irish President Michael Higgins is expected to deliver it to President Trump, who is expected to be tweeting insults about Hillary Clinton.
Laugh after
this. Later this week, Irish President Michael Higgins is expected to deliver it to President Trump, who is expected to be tweeting insults about Hillary Clinton. This has been our St. Patrick's Day of a holiday. Oh, this has been our St. Patrick's Day edition of Holiday History with me, Professor Horatio Wigglebottom, PhD, only on Radio Theology. Have a safe and happy holiday weekend.
So we all want to be good parents, want to do a great job. We want to raise kids that are well-rounded and all that kind of stuff. But what happens when we totally blow it and we know it? Radio Theology on 99.5 ZPL. Darren, Lisa, and Ryan. Lisa, you had a situation this week. We're talking about what you do when your kids lose it. How do you not respond? How do you stay powerful and loving? You had a situation this week where it did not go well. And before you know it, you've got all the meats. You've got Arby's. You're in a parking lot. Take us to the story.
You can't make this stuff up, right? Right. So Josie is three, and we had a decent vet time, but she's learned how to stall. Like, she's pulling out every trick in the book, and every trick she pulls, my temper just escalates until at the last minute, I'm like, "You are driving me crazy. I'm so frustrated at you." And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, "That is a terrible thing for a little girl to go to bed hearing. Like, shut up, you know." But I can't, and I'm like, "Don't you call my name after I leave this room?" Like, all of this stuff, I lost it. And so then, of course, as soon as I close the door, I'm crying. And oh, here we go again. So anyway, so I go down to Ryan, and I'm like, "I'm out of control. I'm losing it." And he's like, "Okay. Do you want me to make dinner?" And I'm like, "No, we're not even making salmon right now because it's too healthy and I feel like garbage. Where do you want to go to fast food?" And he's like, "Do you want me to?" I'm like, "No, I'm going to get it. I need some air. I need some space." He's like, "Let's go to Arby's. Get me the Max." I'm like, "Okay." So I'm on my way to Arby's, just sobbing, you know, the ugly cry, right? And then I decide, in all of my infinite wisdom, I need to process this with somebody. I need to be vulnerable, and I'm trying to be more bold, especially in my I Am Mother of the Year group. Cheer each other on.
IAmMotherTheYear.com. Go check it out. Keep going.
Yep.
And so I go Facebook Live in this group in the Arby's parking lot.
Oh.
And
can we get audio from that?
Because I love you so much, yes. Yes.
All right, cue the clip.
Here's the situation. We have great days. I've got a 3-year-old daughter, Josie, who has, like, turned a real corner and is a peach, right? I've got Cal, who's 9 months. He didn't talk. Praise the Lord, right? Anyway, we have great days. We have great days. And then we have bedtime, and I think I'm just going to die because I can't get her to bed without, like, all of the stalling, and it's driving me crazy. Anyway, so then I lose my temper, right? Which I hate, because do you want to go to bed saying, you're driving me crazy, and I'm so frustrated at you? No, nobody wants to hear that right before they go to bed, not even my 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man, right. I feel like I know you more. I feel like I should cry.
Yeah. Well, you absolutely can. You're in a safe place.
Thank
here.
You. Appreciate it.
But yeah, it was like, and that went on. That was like a 3-minute video, right? That I was just like, I can't get myself together. But the good thing that came out of it was, like, I was so glad. I think the devil would have wanted nothing more for me to sit isolated in my car and just beat myself up over and over and over again for how horrible of a mother I was for losing my temper. But instead, I just followed the prompt to be vulnerable. And through that, I was able to tell myself the lie that I was saying, which is I'm not equipped to be a mother. Tell myself the truth of I'm absolutely equipped to be a mother. And not only that, God has specifically chosen these two children for me to mother. That ended up being like a really life-giving moment.
Radio Theology on 99.5 ZPL, your weekly dose of faith, hope, love, and music. And Lisa, I think you're onto something. Don't you think that's something that we all do, is that when we get in those moments, there is a lie that we tell ourselves, often I think influenced by the devil that's trying to tear us down and lie to us. We buy into that lie and act out of it. And what you're saying is there's power when we can actually begin to speak truth about ourselves to ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it helped. And then to say it to the group. So all of these moms were commenting, not like, I don't want advice. I want you to tell me what your lie is and what your truth is when you're feeling like me.
I bet that got powerful.
It was amazing. It was lie after lie after lie, followed by truth after truth after truth. It was amazing. Everything from, like, my emotional baggage is going to ruin my kids. No, the truth is that I'm not that powerful. God is more powerful than anything, and he will help me shape and mold my children.
Ooh, I love it. Listen, you got to go see this list of posts. I know that you deal with it, and you're going to be encouraged by it. Just go to IamMotherOfTheYear.com. Go check it out. Join Lisa's group. You join together with thousands of other moms. Listen, you need it. It's going to be great. Stick with us right here at 995 ZPL.
It's the thought of the day with Pastor Darren.
So there you are in Target. You just had to run in to get the basics. You got your toddler with you. Things are going great. You got the milk. You got the bread. You got the mustard. And before you know it, your toddler is in a full-blown 5-alarm meltdown about something that is absolutely ridiculous. And you can see the eyes. Everybody's staring at you. You can feel that they're judging you. Oh, you're such a terrible parent. Look at your toddler. She just threw the mustard all the way across the aisle. As they're staring at her, you can feel their judgment. You can feel your insecurity. You can feel the fear bubbling up inside of you. You're angry and you overreact. And your connection to your kid is damaged. Or how about this scenario? You're out on a date. Things are good. You look good. He looks good. Conversation's great. The food is really, really tasty. And then he says it, or she says it. I mean, you know it. It's that thing they say that drives you nuts. They're comparing you to this person, or they're talking about that, or it's something about your mom. I don't know what it is, but they say something, and all of a sudden, your insecurity begins to stir. Then you feel judged. Then you feel this sense of fear. Now you're angry. You overreact. And your connection to your spouse is damaged. We all do it, don't we? We all do. We don't want to do it, but it's like this big fear dance that we get caught in. And if we continue to stay in this fear dance, it's fueled by fear and insecurity and these things, it's going to have terrible consequences on our relationships. And listen, life is relationship. So this is about the quality of our actual life. So what do we do? Here's what we do. We get powerful. You see, one thing I love about Jesus is he tells us through our relationship with him, he gives us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. It says it like this: for the Holy Spirit, God's gift, does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. That's God's gift. I like that. I like to be around people. I like to be wise. I like to be strong. How about you, right? But to get there, our paradigm has to change. Right now, many of us have a lens in our paradigm of the world is this: you have to be okay for me to be okay? Well, this has to change to a powerful stance where my paradigm is, I am powerful and responsible for myself. Even if you're not okay, I can be. That's a life changer right there. And if your kid is melting down, it doesn't mean you're a bad parent. It just means your kid is feeling something they can't communicate, and well, they're losing it. You can step into that situation with love and with power and respond to their heart, not their action. You can be wiser than their emotions and stronger than your fear. If your significant other does something that is hurtful or really scary to you, you don't have to react to their actions, right? You don't have a problem. They do. Let their problem be their problem. And you can step into that situation with love and with power and respond to their heart, not their actions. Listen, you can be wiser than their emotions and you can be stronger than your fear. It's how Jesus always loves us in our meltdown and out of control moments. And it's why his love always leads us to greater freedom and joy. Here's a guarantee for the week coming up, right? Is that someone is going to do something to you or around you that will stir your fear, your insecurity, and maybe make you angry. But here's the good news about you. You can step into that situation with power and love, and you can respond to their heart, not their action. Listen, you can be wiser than their emotions, and you can be stronger than your fear. And that, my friend, is your Radio Theology Thought of the Day.